Thank you, Abraham. I am Baptist from top to bottom. I studied in a Baptist college, went to a Baptist seminary, served as a Baptist pastor, and then served with the Baptist Federation. And as always, Baptist. And then you know a very great phrase from a German evangelist: every Baptist a missionary. So I believe that we all, who are all Baptists here, are all missionaries. So praise God for such a great legacy that we have all had. The reason I'm here is because we have a Baptist Youth Conference in Malacca starting from May 29th to June 1. We have about 700 young people from all over the Asia Pacific who are coming. Of course, the challenge for us is that it is always very difficult for the Pacific people to be able to come, especially the young people. So just day before yesterday, I had this email from Papua New Guinea, and one of the Baptist leaders, and he was saying that our Baptist convention can only give me $650, and I cannot travel with $650. Can you help me? And so I'm like, Lord, okay, this is such a last minute. What shall I do? He's a Baptist leader. And so these are some of the challenges that we have as a young Baptist who wants to gather together and then come to the conference. But continue to pray for us. About 700 young people are coming, as I said, and mostly from the Asia. Hopefully, one of these days in the future, we can have a Baptist youth conference in the Pacific, where Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon Island, Papua New Guinea, and then East Timor. East Timor sometimes comes towards Asia also, but these are some of the countries that we have in the Pacific who are part of the Asia Pacific Baptist Federation. So continue to pray for that. So that's the reason I'm here. Thank you for giving me this chance to be able to stand before you. Pantai Baptist Church has been known to me for a very long time because of people like Pastor Isaac Yim, who has left such a great legacy as one of our vice presidents in the past of the APBF. But that was during what you call the Asia Baptist Federation. We added Pacific in 2006, 2007, when we started to have Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon Island, and all these Pacific islands become part of the APBF. And so we now called Asia Pacific Baptist. But it's so good to have people who have been a model, a role model of our Baptist family. And as I said, Pastor Isaac Yim is one of them. And it's so good to know Pastor James Lai. I mean, just that story that just came out. 40 years ago, you were pastoring here, and then you have raised so much leaders, so many leaders here. We always stand with you all, and we continue to pray for our great leaders like you all, that we who have also been given the responsibility to carry that torch, we will be able to do this faithfully. But praise God for your life, Pastor Isaac Yim and Pastor James Lai. Thank you very much. Pantai Baptist Church has been, as I said, a supporter of APBF in many ways. And I would also say Abraham was part of that. We are always very grateful for his love, for his compassion, and then for the way that he has served us so humbly in the past year. But we are very grateful that we have people like them. We do also know that Pantai Baptist Church has been very active in missions. You have been supporting our brother from Nagaland in Cambodia for so many years. And I have been involved with Gihoka Su for the past 10 years, helping him. But many of the works that he has, that he does now, is all because of blessings that he has received or God has given, choosing Pantai Baptist Church to be that blessing. And he continues to serve faithfully. I invited him to Norway last year to share the testimony of what God is doing in Cambodia. And so many people were blessed. His testimony is out on the YouTube also. So maybe one of these days you can watch. I bring greetings from my church, Alone 318. We used to be called Okinawa Daiichi Baptist Church. But my wife, my father-in-law who passed away, was a senior pastor. And before he passed away, he gave the leadership to my wife, saying, my time has come, and so lead the church. And so she became the lead pastor of the church. I pastor together with her. We are a very small church in Okinawa. We continue to struggle. We don't have a church building, and so we rent one Anglican chapel. But we are a very God-loving, mission-believing, a Bible church, and we continue to do what best that we could do as a small church to serve God. So we serve God in Myanmar. We have our direct missionary through our local missionary in Shan State, in Lasho region. And so he's doing a very good job in terms of really reaching out and then church planting. Then we continue to serve in Cambodia. So while we are a small church, we continue to serve God. So we are called Elon 318 Church now. I also bring greetings from the Asia Pacific Baptist Federation. I would say that Pastor Edwin Lam was our past president. Now it is Reverend Mark Wilson. He's from Australia, so he's our president now. He will be coming. His wife, Karen Wilson, if you will know, with Global Leadership Network, his wife is one of the vice presidents of the Global Leadership Network, but also serves as the president for the Baptist World Alliance Women. And so we are spread out in 22 countries. As you will know, from all the way from Nepal to Japan, and then I just returned from Central Asia. We are looking at Central Asia as also part of the APBF because of the diverse ethnicities in Central Asia. It's very interesting, this time when I went to Almaty in Kazakhstan, it's very difficult, you know, he looks like Russian, but he looks like Central Asian. He looks like Middle East. You see all this kind of like diverse faces in Almaty. I was very surprised. Then I was also very surprised that during the Stalin time, Stalin just transported a whole group of Koreans to Kazakhstan. And so there's a huge group of ethnic Koreans in Kazakhstan. And during the 90s, just before 3 years before the break of USSR, the Korean Baptist missionaries sent their missionary. He's now the president of the Foreign Mission Board of the Korea Baptist Convention. But he said, 3 years before the break of the USSR, I was there, and then I started reaching out to the people of Kazakh. There was not a single believer during that time in Kazakhstan of the Kazakh people. There's a Russian Orthodox Church. There's a Belarusian Orthodox churches, but there was no Kazakh believer. And then he said that after the break of the USSR, there was turmoil, really very hard times that fell upon Kazakhstan. But he started to reach out the gospel, and after a few years, he was able to have one believer who was an ethnic Korean who was so ashamed to say that I'm a Korean ethnic person. And he was saying, I'm a Kazakh. But when he came to faith, then he began to start to really look at himself as an ethnic Korean. And then slowly gospel started to reach out. And so now in the Central Asia portion, there's 120 churches, Baptist churches. Amen. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. Yes. One church called the Central Baptist Church, Almaty. The pastor of the church is Alexander Han. So I was like, how come your name is Alexander and then you're Han? And he said, I'm the third generation Korean. He doesn't speak Korean. He's learning Korean, but he speaks Russian and Kazakh. But he said, after the Korean missionaries came and they planted the church, now we have four services on Sundays. We have 1,200 cell groups, family, 1,200 families gathering together, and they are praying for Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and all the Stan countries. It's amazing, you know, all the Stan countries, they are praying for them. The Russian believers are coming to the church to learn how they are doing the family group, cell group. Isn't it amazing? It was only 1990s that the churches there were planted. How many years now? It's not even how many? 90, 2000, 2010, 20, not even 50 years, right? But the churches are growing. It's amazing. So I just wanted to come together and then look at how God is working among the churches here in the APBF region. And as I come and look at you, as I come and see how today the worship team led the worship, how we are talking about and singing about from east to west, from north to south, gospel proclaiming, being preached. We sing that song, right? And we talk about how we belong to God, how we belong to Jesus. We are singing that. We're singing that, send me, Lord, send me as one of your missionary. Send me as one to the people, to Malaysia, to the nations out in the world. We are singing that. The way that worship has been weaved today, I do believe that God is telling us that we as a church, we are not to be static. We are to be like the Antioch church. And that is why my sermon, my message, or the message that I've received today is living out the Antioch church today. Living out. When we say the Antioch church, we all know the Antioch church as one of the first church. Last year, I was in Mongolia. Mongolia, also out of the USSR, and they went through a lot of difficult times, almost civil war, and then only in 1995 they were able to have a government. And now, again, God's blessing upon the Korean Baptist churches. The Korean Baptist church sent its missionary, and then the churches was planted. There are several other churches. There's one Southern Baptist church. A lady went and planted one church, Southern Baptist Church, the International Baptist Church. There's only one Southern Baptist Church, which is a Southern Baptist, but that church, Pastor Ogie is one of the pastors, really, really doing well. But these churches that I'm talking about are the churches planted by the Korean Baptist missionaries. Now there are 18 churches. They are, as I go and then look at them, first generation Christians. For us, I know some of us here will be first generation, that you have just received Christ as your personal Savior, and that's what you're getting to learn. They, as a first generation Christian, is that they never heard the gospel. The whole community never heard the gospel. And then gospel came through Korean Baptist missionary. And then, you know, a lot of times, we see how ladies, how women has taken leadership in bringing the gospel. Talk about Bangladesh. I'm just going a little bit towards Bangladesh. 6 Australian missionaries went, all of them ladies, women. They were young. They went to Bangladesh. They started the church there, Bangladesh Baptist Christian Fellowship. Now, it's a church planted by Australians, but all women. Kazakhstan, one of the ladies went there and they started sharing the gospel. Of course, that one Baptist missionary was also there, but also ladies have been part. In Mongolia was another lady who went there and then who started preaching the gospel, and then the churches were born. And so God is using both men and women in the spreading of the gospel here in the Asia Pacific. As I talk about Mongolia, this will be the first time in the history of Mongolian Baptist churches for them to send 8 young people to Malacca. Amen for that. 8 young people. And one of your church members sponsored them. Amen. Amen to that. One of your church members sponsored them. They are able to come and then they are able to join. This will be history for them. They're very excited. They wrote to me and said, they sent me the picture and said, my young people are practicing. They want to come and sing some songs. We said, sure, why not? Come and sing some songs. We are just very glad that we are able to do that. Just two weeks ago, I returned from Kazakhstan, and I was telling them, oh, I wish we were a little too late here now to be able to invite you, but I wish you could also have come. So God is using all these areas here in the Central Asia, Asia Pacific, for the gospel to spread. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for the Stan countries. As you will all know, Stan countries are all Muslim countries, but some of them who had the Russian influence, they're Orthodox Russians who has a good influence as well. And so there are Christians who know Russians as Christians, and so at least for them, they are able to, it becomes a little easy for them to be able to accept Christianity. So continue to pray for them. Today, as we come into the scripture here, we read about the Antioch Church. Antioch Church as an evangelistic church. We read from Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 20, but I would just very briefly go in the history of Antioch here. Antioch of Syria was one of the largest cities in the first century Roman world. That city had about 100,000 to 300,000 population. Very much, maybe. I don't know about the population here in KL. But let's look. If KL was a Syria or the Antioch of those days, and then we had all this population coming together, and then this nation was the one where every culture during that time would come and then make that city their home. The city's location was intersection of Egypt, Asia Minor, Greece, Italy, Mesopotamia. And that made Antioch a very strategic place for the spread of the gospel and even for the church, the birth of the church. Antioch. But it was an evangelistic church. Here the passage begins with the spread of the gospel to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, emphasizing the message of Jesus was not limited to Jewish people. If you look at the scripture, it says, some of them, whom were, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, preaching the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And so from here, we begin to understand that the gospel was not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard the gospel, they started to take it out and spread it among the people. At first, they were all, Jewish, you were looking at the persecution, how the persecution started. They were all just stuck in Jerusalem. They were reluctant people to go out of Jerusalem. But when persecution started, they had to go out. And then God used all these ordinary men to be able to spread the gospel. Now, as I talk about the spread of the gospel as it started from Antioch and then it spread out and we ourselves received the gospel, we are talking about all this mission work that is happening in the Central Asia. We are talking about all this mission work that is growing out in the Asia Pacific also. 10 years, we as a Baptist World Alliance, we are looking at a figure of static of growth of 10 years. Now, North America, the churches are decreasing by 3%. European churches are decreasing by 4%. The African Baptist churches have increased in the past 10 years of 175%. More than 100%, 175% of the African Baptist churches have grown. The Latin America churches have also grown more than 75%. The Asia Pacific Baptist churches in the past 10 years have grown 123%. We are also growing. 10 years before, our report from the APBF was Asia Pacific Baptist churches, 33,000 churches. That's how we brought our statistic. Then 5 years ago, I did a new demographic study of the population of growth of churches. And then we did a status here at the APBF. Now, all the reports, and not all the conventions have given the reports, I must tell you. But the reports that we received from the APBF Baptist churches is that we are more than 40,000 churches now. From 33,000 churches in the past 10 years, we have grown more than 7,000 churches. And like I said, there are many conventions who are not able to send the reports. There are many Baptist churches in India who are still not part of the APBF. So we can see how the churches are growing. When a church becomes an evangelistic church, God uses the church not only for the growth of the churches, but also for the growth of other churches. I can see that Pantai Baptist Church is a very evangelistic church. When you did your announcements, I can see how you are ministering in the Philippines. I can see how you are ministering in outside of the boundaries of the Pantai Baptist Church, not even in Malaysia. When a church is an evangelistic church, when a church is like an Antioch church, and today's message is really an encouragement to you all. Let us continue to be the Antioch church. Let us continue to be the church that evangelizes. Now, as we talk about this, we also know that there are also many, many churches in the world where the church is only talking about investing their money into something, into some projects, and then making up some money, saying that we need to do for this, do for that, we need to care for our people. Not that it's wrong to care for our own people. We need to care for our own people as well. But when our attention becomes all too focused into ourselves, then we are unable to grow. And when we do not grow, then other churches also get affected. And that is why we always say, I am from Nagaland, as I said. The church where I grew up, when I grew up, it was about 2,000 members. I was there last month at my church, and we're about 5,000 now. It's a huge church. I come from a very big church out in Nagaland. When I come to Okinawa, I come to a 35-member church. But the spirit of evangelism is nothing different, whether you're big, whether you're small. When you have that spirit to continue to serve God, then God is going to use you, whether big or small. But when you are a large church, your influence upon the smaller churches is so great. And so the responsibility really lies on how you as a big church will continue to really go out and be that Antioch church. My mother used to say, when she first received the gospel, when she became a Christian, she was about 13 years old or 14, something like that. And so she said, during that time, you might not know about this history, but the Naga people, my people, were not Indians. We were separate people, tribal people. And so when the British came, the British brought us into one territory as a British India, and then so we became part of the British Empire. And so when the British left, the British said, okay, now it's up to you whether you want to be independent or not. And so our people said, we want to be independent. And then sent a message to the UN. But somehow, Jawaharlal Nehru did not want to break away this British Empire. And so there was a civil war for 10 years. And my mother said that our village was burned 6 times by the Indian armies. But she was out, she was little, but she had 4 or 5 siblings. They had to run away from the village and then live in the jungle. But what was happening during that time was that the gospel had arrived and then there was revival happening. And so she received the gospel. She received Christ during that revival times. So here you have persecution happening in some ways about the military operation happening. And then here was also the gospel work happening. In Nagaland, the churches grew during the persecution times. And so we are now say that people say 90-95% Christians. I would also say, but don't believe that we are 95%, because there are so many nominal Christians also. There are many people who does not go to church anymore, or maybe go to church on December or maybe January to say, to receive blessings. Lord, I'm going to go, and then I start my church today. But the whole year, they forget to go to church. But we have people like that as well. But we need to also continue to pray that there was this Nagaland revival. We continue to pray for revival. Even now, we continue to pray for revival. But when the church becomes so static as an established church and do not become the evangelistic church, then there is always this decline of growth. Antioch Church was an equipping church. The role of Barnabas and Saul, Paul, is the equipping of the believers, is very, very significant in the Antioch Church. Barnabas goes to Tarsus to find Paul, Saul, and bring him back to Antioch. And what do? They spend 1 year reading the scriptures, teaching the teachings of Christ. For 1 year they were there. And they continued to encourage the people to remain faithful for the steadfast purpose, to remain faithful. And this Roman governor, his name is Pliny. The Roman governor even says like that. And this Roman governor is known to have put many, many believers, many Christians to death in the early times during the 112 AD. But he says, they, means Christians, were in a habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light, and so before the dawn, when they sang in alternate verses a hymn to Christ as to a God, and bound themselves by a solemn oath not to do any wicked deeds. It's very interesting. So Pliny the governor writes that in the history, that this group of Christians who call themselves Christians would come together, gather together before dawn, and then they would pray, they would sing, and then they would give they would make a solemn oath not to do any wicked things. And God was using them. You read the history, and then it says that there was this famine that happened during that time, and then many people who had leprosy were just left out, abandoned by the Roman people. But it was the Christians who would go to them, and then who would take care of their wounds. And many of them died along with the people during that time. But the Roman historians write about all the things that the Christians were doing. And then while there were death happening, but there was also growth happening. Why is that happening? It's because they were all very, very focused and then really studying the Word of God together. There's a story about one Nepali girl. And it's a very sad story. It's a tragedy. That this Nepali girl, this is a story about 9 to 10 years ago. So she was a 9-year-old girl, and then she lived in a very, very high mountains, and then she became a believer. And so every Sunday she would trek about 3 hours from that village to come down to a place, I think it's called Pokhara, to come to that village, to that town, and to attend the church. She would bring some siblings along with her. She would come and then study the word together, sing, and then after that, by afternoon, she would go back trekking 3 hours back to her village. One Sunday, it was raining really bad, but they still wanted to come and join the body of believers. And so while they were coming, they had to cross a river. Probably that's a huge river. And so they were coming, and then she was able to drive to help the rest of the kids go and then cross the river, but she herself was not able to cross the river. The current became stronger, the heavy rain started to pour down, and so she was swept away, and she died. It's a very sad story, of course. But what really made me really realize is that her love for the Word of God brought her every Sunday to come, trekking 3 hours to come and study the Word of God and to be with the fellowship of believers. If a 9-year-old girl can do that, today as you're talking, as you're challenging and encouraging and inviting for prayer, I think we ourselves need to recommit ourselves and come, do Bible study, do prayer. This is one of the biggest challenges in our churches today. Our mentality has become really like, I come to church on Sunday, I get fed. And it's very interesting. My own brother next to me, he has little kids. And so I said, I was there with them, and then I said, you're not going to church? And they said, oh, no, we're not going to church. But you need to take your kids to the church and then start giving them the roots. Oh, there are so many good YouTube where we can watch and then listen to the preachers in the YouTube. Well, it is, yes. But when we fail up to show ourselves, as Hebrews says, make it a habit to gather together and then worship together, gather together as believers, I think there's something wrong for me. YouTube is never going to be your Sunday or the Lord's Day or the worship day. I believe that when we are gathered together as believers, whether there are 3 or 4 people gathered together, there God is in His presence. There God is in our presence, I mean. I believe that when we come together, gather together in prayer, then that's where God started to use us. I'm not saying that God will not use a single person individually, but God can use us mightily together as a body. One of the things that is happening now in Cambodia, which I hope, and then you all will also take attention, is that as the churches grew, the cults started to come in. 5 years I had been going to Cambodia regularly. Then there was a 1-year gap, and I went the next year. I was so surprised that from the airport going to Tokyo, from the airport, I came across a very nice building, and which was a Mormon church. Very nice building, basketball court, Mormon church. Then I asked, I see that Mormon church coming out. Then Brother Gihuka said, Brother Sue said, oh, Brother V, there are so many Mormon churches now. There are so many Jehovah's Witness church now. There are so many Church of the Almighty. That's another cult from China, right? Churches now. They're stealing all our young people. Our young people don't know whether Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostals, and then they don't know that Mormon and Jehovah's Witness. And he said, would you kindly do a Bible study on cults, on study on cults? And so the next year I went, and then we gathered about 32 pastors in the Takyo province, and we did a study on the cults. None of them knows. Oh, these people are called cults? Yes, they are cults. Oh, these people are called cults? Oh, my neighbor used to come to our church, but he does not come to church anymore. He goes to that church now. We are losing a lot of young people in Cambodia because the study, I would say, our Cambodian Baptist churches are still very weak. And so we need to strengthen them. And that is where we know that we need to go, and then as missionaries, as short-term missionaries, go and then give them really, really in-depth Bible study. Thirdly, Antioch Church was a caring church. Antioch Church was an evangelistic church. Antioch Church was an equipping church. And Antioch Church was a caring church. Antioch Church responded to the prophecy of this brother called Agabus. And then they listened to that prophecy, and then they got themselves ready to help those people who are in need in Judea. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Agabus prophesied that there's going to be famine. And what did the Antioch church do? They were very proactive. They immediately started to gather themselves and then started to raise their funds to be able to help those people in Judea. It's such a blessing to be able to see your report. Kapatid, or what was that? Kapatid ministry, where you have sponsoring a family to study, give them education. What a blessing it is. One person being transformed is a whole community being transformed. In my father's days, my father was one of the first person to join the Indian Army. Here you have this persecution going on, but my father needed a job, and so he lied to the Indian government. He should be 17, but he was only 14 years old. But he said, 15 years old. And he said, I'm 17. And he joined the Indian Army. But as he joined Indian Army means that was the British Army during that time. So he went and he served there. Then he would come back during the holidays and he would tell about the stories of India. And he was such a great Indian, my father. His hero was Mahatma Gandhi. He would always tell, my son, even if you don't want to study Bible, read Gandhi's teaching. Read Gandhi's teaching. He was like that. But he would come back during the holidays, and then he doesn't really often get holidays. He would come and tell about India. My uncle, he said my uncle was like 9 years old. He would get so excited, and then he would go and then wait for him, knowing that he's going to come, pick him up, then listen to all the stories throughout the night. Listen to the stories. He would gather all these people, young people will come in the village, and they will be listening to the story of my father. And then one by one, another joined the army. Another joined the army. My uncle joined the police. And then my uncle served as the director general of police, like, for example, the whole city of Serangoon or Kuala Lumpur. He was the top guy. But the influence by one person is like that. When we can influence a person by giving them education, by giving them the gospel, then just imagine about how many people this person can also affect. When we had a COVID, as you all experienced COVID, the second phase of COVID was very, very bad in India. And just recently, I was in India doing a 1 whole month tour in India. And so I went to Delhi, and there was a one school. Because we really, as APBF, as an aid department of the APBF, we really supported the COVID work in India. So during that time in Delhi, I mean, you'd also probably have heard the Delhi, what do you call it, COVID? I can't remember, there was a name that was used. But so this person invited me and they say, V, you're here in Delhi. I want you to come and see the place. A whole school that was transformed into a hospital. And he said, I want you to come and see what APBA, because of the support that we received, what we have done. And so he took me and they took me to the balcony, and then he showed me and said, we put 100 beds in this school. We put all the oxygen cylinders and everything that a hospital needs because of the funds that APB was able to give. And then he said, out of about maybe 300 people who had come and been admitted into that makeshift hospital, Not even a single person died. He said, doctors were Christians. We had counselors. We had prayer warriors. We had people not only taking care of their COVID needs, but we were praying for them. The doctors were praying for them. And he told me one story that one family brought his parents, father and mother, and just left them on the school street. Just abandoned them and then ran away. They were there almost dying. When they came in the morning, they saw. They quickly brought them into the school and they treated them. By God's grace, God sustained their lives. And then they did not die. And matter of fact, they became believers. When we give our care to those people in need and we bring the gospel to them, there's not only the physical change, but there's also the heart's change. And that is the transformation that we are talking about here in the Antioch church also. It was not only giving to the needs. It was not only giving money. It was also giving and caring. That is why Antioch church was a caring church. We all need to be cheerful givers. And I know that not many people have the physical ability to go and meet the needs. And so these people can give. But there are also many people who can go and give to the needs and care for the people. And I believe that's where our call comes together as believers. That when we say every Baptist a missionary, I believe that a Baptist as a missionary is also to go and then to show what we tell. It's not only about preaching, but it's also acting the preaching that we are going to do. Many churches, I would say, are very comfortable at our own growth. And I see that in many of our Nagaland churches. We are very big, but we are so self-satisfied with our growth. We are saying that we are going to give, we are going to send missionary. We have this much amount of money that we collect. But I believe that when we only tell that and sit within our own four walls of the church, then we are not fulfilling the great commission of Christ. And that is why I think we believe, and I personally believe, that we need to go. We only not become a caring church, but we also become a sending church. If we look at the continuation of Acts chapter 11 and go to Acts chapter 13, then we find out that the Antioch church sent Paul and Barnabas. They prayed for them and then they sent them with their blessings. And so I believe that as a church, as Pantai Baptist Church, our call as a Great Commission church is really to go out and preach the gospel, to go out and then meet the needs of the people, to go out and then be the church in the community, in the locality. We still have 46% of unreached, unengaged people's group in the Asia-Pacific region. The APBF, our mission goal is to be able, this is a prayer, and I want you to pray with us. And this is going to be what we are challenging our young people during this conference in Malacca. In our Asia Pacific, we have about 7 million Baptists. Our prayer is to mobilize every young Baptist from this year until 2033, when we celebrate the 2000th anniversary of the Antioch Church, of the Pentecost, of the persecution, and of the birth of church. We are going to celebrate that in 2033. The 2000th anniversary is going to be our celebration. And it's not very far from now. Our prayer, and this is going to be what we are going to challenge our young people this time, is that we mobilize 2 million young Baptists to go short-term missionary, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, whichever you can. We are going to mobilize, by God's help, our desire is to mobilize 2 million Baptists to go into the 46% of unreached people's group, unreached, unengaged people's group. Please pray with us and please join us into this very, very huge, humongous task. But the task has been given to us as a church. Jesus has told us, go out and preach the gospel. And it's not only just to the, when we say church, it's all to the individuals. But we want to bring this challenge to our young people in Malacca. About 700 young people will come. We are going to challenge them, but we will start mobilizing the APBF Missions Department. Reverend Ardy will start mobilizing 2 million in the next 2030. So that is our prayer, and I want you to be also part of that that movement. Let us pray that God will use each one of us, and in a time as such as this, when we are living, when it is our time, let us do our best and let us give God our best. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to stand here before you all. I know it's the first time for me, but it has not been the first time for Pantai Baptist Church to be part of the APBF, and so we continue to pray that our partnership will go strong. And thank you very much for giving Pastor Isaac Yim for in the past years, and then we continue to pray that we will have leadership from Pantai Baptist Church as well into the APBF. Thank you, and praise God for this opportunity.